1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Well, it is really good to be with you this morning, and do have your Bibles open if you've got them at the passage that was read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's a Christian minister not too far from here, actually, and he was recently speaking to his church and being interviewed by someone in his church. He'd been through a very difficult period where he'd been unwell. Very unwell, and he was reflecting on that time. And this is what he said. He said, "I've often preached that there are 2 days that matter." Well, I wonder if I was to stop the quote there, I wonder how you'd finish it. What are the 2 days that matter? Perhaps you might say, "Oh, my wedding day," or "the day that I was born," "the day that I was reborn." Well, this is what he said. "I've often preached there are 2 days that matter, the final day and today. That's how we live our life." What was he saying? He was saying, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. There is a final day. And where you stand before God on that day is of utmost importance. What happens to you when Jesus Christ returns is vitally important. And because Jesus Christ is coming again, how you live your life today matters. And so they were the 2 days that he said mattered most. And actually, if you read 1 Thessalonians, that's a very apt summary of this book in the Bible. At the end of every chapter, the second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned. So we read it in chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 19, chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13, all the way through to chapter 5, verse 11, and then again at the end of chapter 5, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. Jesus Christ is returning, and it affects how you live, how you think about God, how you think and live and behave towards others. Jesus Christ is returning. It affects how you live today. If you read in Acts chapter 17, you read about how Paul and Silas and Timothy, the three that we read about in verse 1, how they went to the city of Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, is still there today in Greece. They went to that city and they started proclaiming and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And people were converted, people trusted in the Lord Jesus, and a church was formed in that city. But they were only there for a few short weeks, because what happened was the unbelieving Jews in that city, they caused trouble, they stirred up all kinds of trouble, and eventually Paul and Silas and Timothy had to leave because of the persecution. And so here was a very young church. Paul had only been there a few weeks, and Paul is greatly concerned for them. Well, how are they getting on? Are they still going on? Are they growing? Is the church still there? And so he sends Timothy back to encourage them and find out how they're getting on. And as Timothy returns to Paul, he gives them a report and he says, the church is doing well. They're still there. They're still serving the Lord. They still love him. The church is going strong. And 1 Thessalonians then is Paul's letter in response to Timothy's report. Now look with me at chapter 1. How does Paul start in verse 2? And he starts, as he often does, with thanksgiving. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. He's thankful then that they have been converted. He's thankful that they've trusted Christ and they know that their sins forgiven. But how is he so sure that these people have been transformed? How can he say in verse 4, we know that God has loved you. We know that he's chosen you. We know that you are elect. How is Paul so convinced that these people have been saved? Well, in verse 5, he says, our gospel came to you not simply with words. Now, if someone is to become a Christian, if your work colleague, if your neighbor, if your family member is to be saved, they must hear words. They must hear the words of the gospel. They must have the Bible explained to them. They must be told what Jesus Christ has done. But that's not all that has happened in Thessalonica. They came with words. They explained to them the gospel. But it also came with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. As they came and as they proclaimed and they taught about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in power. And how was that seen? Well, it's seen by what Paul gives thanks for in verse 3. Their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope. Why is Paul so sure? How can you be sure that you're saved? Well, the Holy Spirit has come and has transformed their lives. These are people who now love. They have faith, they love, and they hope. They've been utterly transformed by the gospel. And we'll look at those three things this morning. A faith that works, a love that labours, and a hope that perseveres. If you're a Christian here this morning, these three things should be evident in your life. They're signs of true conversion. A faith that works, a love that labours, and a hope that perseveres. Firstly, a faith that works. And what Paul does as he goes through the rest of the chapter, he brings out how these things are seen and evidenced in the lives of the Thessalonians. So a faith that works. Your work produced by faith. And it's important, isn't it, that it's that way round. It's a work that is produced by faith. It's not a faith that comes by doing works. It is a work that flows out of faith. The Bible is absolutely clear, completely clear, that if you are to be saved, it is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust completely in him, that he died on the cross in your place. You place your faith in him. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God. You trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone saves. But that faith, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will produce works. It will produce fruit. It will change your life. Imagine for a moment you've got a friend and they're always talking to you about gardening. And they just say, oh, it's great. I love being out in the garden. I love getting my fingers dirty. And I love planting all the flowers. And whenever you speak to them, they're talking about their garden. And you think, oh, they must love gardening. They must be a good gardener. And then eventually they invite you round to their house and they're still talking about gardening as you're going round to their house. And then you look out the window and you see a lawn that's overgrown, weeds everywhere, bushes that need trimming. And you think, well, hold on, something doesn't quite align here. You're talking all about gardening, but your garden is showing that, well, you're not in the garden, you're not practicing what you're talking about. You know, many people in this country, many around the world would say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, that's what I am. That's the label that I'd give myself. But a Christian, it will show, just like someone who loves gardening, it will show in their garden. Someone who claims to be a Christian, it will show in their life. They will have a life that is different from the world around. It will bear fruit. How did that work itself out in these Thessalonian Christians? Well, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So as they put their trust, as they welcomed the word of God, as they heard the gospel and they put their trust in the gospel, even though there was suffering, even though there was persecution from the Jews, they had joy, a sign that they truly had been saved. They displayed the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Even though there was trouble, even though their life was made difficult, they received the word and they had joy, even though there was persecution. There was fruit. It worked itself out in how they lived their lives. But also they imitated Paul and Silas and Timothy. They became imitators of us and therefore of the Lord. And there's a pattern here. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they wanted to be like Christ. And the Thessalonians, they wanted, therefore, to be like Paul and Silas and Timothy, and therefore like Christ. But then what happens after that? In verse 7, so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So they then became examples of what it was to live a Christian life. You know, Paul could look at them, and as he went on his travels, and as he preached the gospel, he could say, look, if you want to know what it looks like to live the Christian life, look at those Christians in Thessalonica. They model what it is to be like Christ. Follow them. Look at them. They are good examples. Well, I wonder, could that be said of you? Could that be said of this church here? If visiting speakers came in and they sort of go round in Wiltshire and the southwest and the country, would they be able to say, oh, look at that church in Chippenham. Look at the believers there. They follow Christ. They want to be like Christ. They model what it is to live a Christian life. They want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if people followed how you lived in the home, in the workplace, in school, in college, wherever it is you spend your time, would people be able to say of you, well, look at them. They clearly follow Christ and they behave in a way that is honoring to Christ. Their faith, the Thessalonians' faith, it led to a changed life. They were different people. They followed Christ. They wanted to be like their Savior. They had a faith that worked. Well, secondly, they had a love that labored. They had a love that labored. And we see here a people that were loved by the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 5, you know how we lived among you for your sake. And then he goes on in chapter 2 about how they lived and how they loved those in Thessalonica. They were loved by Paul. They knew that they were loved by God and loved by Christ. in verse 4, brothers loved by God. And as they knew of the love that God had shown them, that sacrificial love that had sent his own son to die on the cross for them, as they thought on that love that cost God his son, well, they loved in return. They loved God and they loved others. The more they knew of God's love, the more they loved God and others. We see that they loved God from this passage. In verse 9, we're told that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Those idols that they purchased, I don't know how much they'd have cost in the idol shop, but those idols that were made of gold and silver, they turned from them. They said, we're not going to have anything to do with them anymore. Anything false worship of false gods, we're not going to have that anymore. We're going to turn to God and leave that lifestyle behind. Anything that hinders us from worshipping God, anything that's to do with that old way of life, that old worship of false gods, we're going to turn from it and we're going to worship God and love him. They turned from idols to worship God. They loved God. Anything sinful, they wanted to turn away from, and they wanted to love God and live for him instead. I think we can say that they loved each other. If you read Hebrews chapter 6, these same three things, faith, love, and hope, come up. And some translations actually use the same phrase, labor of love. And in that context, it's talking about ministry to other believers. And I think we can say here that the Thessalonians, well, they not only loved God, but they loved other believers as well. They loved other Christians. Even when they weren't loved in return, even when it was awkward, even when it was a labor and it was difficult and it was effort, they were going to love and bless other believers. But they loved the world as well, and they loved those who were outside. In verse 8, we're told, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. They did not keep their faith to themselves. They shared it. They told others. Others knew that these were people who'd been transformed. These were people who had heard the message of the gospel. They trusted Christ, and their life was different. They now served God. You can't help talk about things that you love. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to think, oh, I'm going to speak about that. It just comes naturally. Now, if you go out for a meal and it is just the best meal you've ever had, you just talk about it. It comes naturally to talk. Oh, I had this great meal last night. Some of you have pets and you love your pets. It just comes naturally to talk about them. It might be your sports team. It might be your children. It doesn't take effort to talk about things that you love. Well, I wonder, could you say that of your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love him so much? Have you realised just how much he loves you, and that your love just overflows, that it just comes naturally to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ with your family, at work? It just comes because you love him. Well, their faith went out. They weren't quiet. And people knew that these were people who'd been transformed. They loved. They were people who loved God and loved others, even when it was tough. A love that labored. And finally, they had a hope that persevered. A hope that persevered. And Paul puts this one third in Thessalonians. So we have faith, love, and hope. In other places, he changes the order. And this one is third, probably because it's the most important here in the Thessalonian context. Imagine you're in that church in Thessalonica. The city is in uproar. Everyone's heard about Paul coming in and preaching the gospel. Many people have been converted, but it's led to great trouble. The missionaries have only been there for a short period. They've been driven out. They've been persecuted. The church that has been formed there has been persecuted. The Jews have caused trouble. We read that in verse 6. In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with joy. There was persecution that came as the gospel came. The missionaries have gone. You're left in that city. The Jews are still causing trouble, the unbelieving Jews. We know from reading this book that some of the Christians there had already died, possibly as a result of the persecution. There was confusion over what would happen when Jesus returned. They had every reason to be discouraged, every reason to give up, every reason to go back to their old way of life. Well, who were these people that have just come in and now they've gone? Where are they now? Where's Paul now? And here we are. Our life is not any easier because we've become Christians. In fact, it's harder. We're suffering. These people that have shared this message have gone. Every reason to go back to their old way of life. It would have been attractive to give it all up. And yet, they have endurance inspired by hope. A sign that they have been truly converted in spite of great difficulty, great suffering. They kept going. It would have been easier to go back to their old way of life, but they'd been truly converted and they knew what they had believed was true and was right, and they kept going and they kept enduring. When it talks about hope here, it's not using the word hope as we use it. Imagine you work for a company and that company's gone into administration and it gets to the middle of the month. And what do you say? Well, I hope I get paid at the end of the month. I don't know whether it's going to happen. It might do, it might not. That's not the hope it's talking about here. Rather, compare it to being employed by a company and you've been employed there for 10 or 20 years. You've always received the right amount of money on the right day. There's never any doubt that it's going to be there. The company's doing well. You don't say, well, I hope I'm going to be paid. You say, I'm looking forward to payday. I'm looking forward to that day when I get paid. And when the Bible talks about hope, it's not uncertain. It's certain. It's looking forward to something that is yet to happen. They looked forward to a certain future event that Jesus Christ would come again based on the promises of God. They knew that if God had promised it, it would happen. Jesus Christ had promised that he would return. And so they looked forward to that day, certain that it would happen. The Bible is full of God keeping his promises. And sometimes it took a long time. You think of Noah when God said he'd flood the world. It took time before it happened. But God fulfilled that promise. Abraham was told he'd have a child and he had to wait for years before that child came. But God kept that promise. David, we read a psalm while David was waiting to be king this morning. And David had to wait, and Saul was persecuting him, but he became king and God fulfilled his promise. Jesus Christ will return for his people. He will come again. He's promised it. It's certain. It will happen. And it might seem now that it's taking a long time. And how much longer do we have to wait? And perhaps we wonder, well, will it ever happen? But yes, it will. God has promised. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. And as a Christian, if you are a Christian, if you've trusted in Christ, if you know that your sins are dealt with because he's died on the cross for you, you have a great future to look forward to, a wonderful future. Jesus Christ will come. He is the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. He will save you from judgment and hell. He will bring you safely to heaven. He's promised he will do it. He's coming again. Well, trusting in God's promises, it means waiting. You wait, and you have to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. But a sign of true conversion, it's you endure and you keep going. And life is tough, and people don't like the fact that you're a Christian, and they don't like the message that you have, that all have sinned, and that includes them. And people do think you're strange. Why on earth do you live the way that you live? Why don't you live for pleasure and for now and for your next holiday? But you keep going, you keep enduring, because you're certain that Jesus Christ is coming again and there is a better future to look forward to. Well, as we close, firstly, we must ask, has this change happened to you? Can you say, like those Christians in Thessalonica, I have been changed. I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is not what it was. I've been transformed. I do have a faith that shows itself in the way that I live. I do have a love because I know that God has loved me. And I do have great hope, and I keep going because I know that one day I'll be with Christ in heaven. Has that great conversion happened to you? Have you been saved? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you have, well, could someone say of you, follow them, look at their life. They show what it is to display a Christian life, one that is like Christ. How much are you aware of God's love for you? How much does it feature in your daily devotions? And how much does that overflow in your love for God, wanting to live for Him, serve Him, and your love for those around you? And how often do you think of Christ's return? He is coming. It might be tomorrow, it might be soon. That will change how you live today. It will affect how you choose to live. If you've got in the forefront of your mind that Christ is coming again, it could be soon. Does it change? Does it affect how you live your life today? Let me pray briefly, and then we'll sing. Father, we do thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your grace. And even though we don't deserve anything, we don't deserve salvation, we thank you that you do save us, that you do cause us to see all that the Lord Jesus has achieved for us on the cross. And Father, we thank you that you do change us and make us into the people that we should be. Help us, we pray, to keep going, to keep persevering, and to keep seeking to be like our Saviour, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.